1 Corinthians chapter 10, reading verses 13 and 14. Scripture says, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, flee from idolatry." Father, we thank you for your word today, and we pray, Lord, that you would help us to be able to bring out some truths that would be a great encouragement to people today. Lord, when we think of things like temptation, we have the tendency to be down because we can look at our life and realize that there are times when we have yielded to that temptation. But I pray today, Lord, that you would help us to be able to understand your purpose in allowing temptation, that we might grow from it. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We are looking at a series that I've called Strange Ministries. There are some things in our life that come to us that we don't recognize as ministers of God. And last week we looked at the ministry of failure and how God can use even the failures in our life to bring about His glory and our good. Sometimes ministries come wrapped up in disguises. And one of those ministries that we want to look at today is the ministry of temptation. There is something that every single one of us in this building this morning has in common. No matter who you are, no matter what your purpose in life, no matter how educated or uneducated you are, no matter how spiritual or how carnal you are, we have all had a common experience this week, and that is we are all tempted. Failure to understand the meaning and the ministry of temptation can lead to a great deal of frustration and failure in the Christian life. There has no temptation taken you. And the word taken means to seize and hang on to. And doesn't that graphically describe some of the temptations that we face? They come upon us suddenly and they have this doggedness, this stubbornness about them that they don't want to let go of us. And some of us struggle with the same temptations day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year. They won't let go. Many times I've talked with Christians who, when they face severe temptation, Their first reaction is, well, there must be something wrong with me. There must be something wrong with my relationship with God. And sometimes people even say, you know, maybe I'm not even saved. I think it's remarkable how everything that comes into our life, God is able to bring a ministry out of it. And I praise the Lord this morning that He is in such absolute control of your life and my life, that even the situations that we face and the circumstances that are around us and everything that happens to me and everything that happens to you, God is able to perform a ministry through it. God can take even the worst things in our life and turn around and bring a ministry that results in our ultimate good. See, everything that happens to you is not the result of fate. It happens to you because you have a Father in heaven who loves you very much, and He is seeking to work out and to carve His purpose in your life. So I have three things about temptation this morning. First of all, God permits the experience of temptation. God permits the experience of temptation. Notice what the Apostle Paul said. "There has no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer or will not allow you to be tempted above that you are able." Now that little expression, "God will not suffer" or "God will not allow you to be tempted," tells me two things. First of all, it tells me that the temptation itself is not a sin. If it were a sin, God would not allow it to come to me. And I find an increasing number of Christians who think that the fact that they are tempted means that they are sinning. See, the devil, he comes and he tempts us. And at the same time he is tempting us, he's accusing us. And he's saying things to us like, you have that temptation, that proves that you're not right with God. Or you have this temptation and that proves that you are not a Christian. If you really were a Christian, if you really were saved, then that desire would not well up within you. And yet the book of Hebrews tells us that Jesus was in all points, not some points, in all points tempted as we are, and yet without sin. And then after Jesus was baptized by John, the Bible tells us that the Spirit led him, or the Spirit drove him into the wilderness where he was tempted of the devil for 40 days and 40 nights. Jesus was tempted, but he did not sin. And when the devil tells you that because you are tempted, you are sinning, don't let him bluff you, because the temptation itself is not a sin. But this also tells me that God allows the temptation. God himself never would tempt us to sin, but he does allow us to be tempted. Listen to James chapter 1 and verse 13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Well, you might say, well, what about those passages in the Old Testament where it says that God tempted Abraham, or that God tempted Israel? Well, you need to understand that the word temptation is used in two ways in the Word of God. It is used with the meaning to entice to evil, to entice someone to sin. God never tempts somebody in that manner. God never tries to get you to sin. Don't ever accuse God of bringing that temptation into your life. But the word temptation is used another way in the Bible. It means to put to the test, to try something to see if it is real or not. Now, God does tempt us in this way. God does test us. God leads us into experience to test us and to try us to see that if our faith that we profess is really genuine and true. Abraham had his faith put to the test. Abraham said, God, I have put you above all else. I love you more than anything else in my life. And God says, okay, Abraham, I'm going to give you the chance to prove that. I want you to take your son, Isaac, and I want you to go up on a mountain that I will tell you of, and I want you to offer him as a sacrifice there to me. And Abraham was willing to do that. He demonstrated that he loved God even above his son. He loved him above everything else. And he took the knife and he was ready to slay his son when God says, wait, wait, Abraham, don't do that. Now I know that you love me more than anything else. See, God really knew that all along. But Abraham didn't know that until he was put to the test. And he had said, he had mouthed the words, God, I love you above all else. But now when he saw that he was actually called on it and put to the test, he realized that the faith that he had in his heart was true and was genuine. And he looked over into the thicket and there was a ram. And God told him to go get the ram and offer it instead of his son. God sometimes will test our faith to see if it's real or not. Abraham passed the profession of faith. He put him to the test, but he passed. God will test us from time to time to prove to us that which is really in our heart. Do we love him above all else? Now, why does God permit us to be tempted, and what exactly is the ministry of temptation? Well, first of all, God allows us to be tempted to expose us to our weakness. Listen to Deuteronomy chapter 8, and God is giving here an explanation why he led the people in the wilderness for 40 years. In Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 2, Moses says, "And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led you these 40 years in the wilderness." Now, why did he lead him in the wilderness? To humble thee and to prove thee. The word prove means to examine, to expose, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or not. You see, you know what the children of Israel told the Lord on one occasion? They said, all that you tell us, we will do. Whatever you tell us, we will do. We will be obedient to your word. And they were lifted up with pride and self-confidence, and God allowed them to have the experience of temptation to expose to themselves the sinfulness and the rebellion that was in their hearts. It was the only way for God to expose what was in their hearts, because they were blind to what was in their own heart. The Bible says that our heart is wicked, and who can know it? Who really understands the heart? And so God has to allow temptation. He has to allow things into our life to expose to us what is really in the heart. One of the easiest things for any Christian to fall into is spiritual pride. You know, we think that we've arrived. I came, I saw, I conquered all things. And God says, no, you don't know what's in the wickedness of your heart. It's very difficult for us to see what's in our heart. You know, it tells me the very fact that I can be tempted, the very fact that I have these feelings and sometimes this desire to be drawn away tells me that I have a long way to go. And Paul says in the 10th chapter of 1 Corinthians, take heed lest you fall. And in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1, he says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be what? Tempted. Well, there's another reason. And I think this is the best reason and most comforting reason. And that is God allows us to be tempted to enlarge our capacity for God. To enlarge our capacity for Him. He allows us to meet conflicts and temptations and difficulties in order to enlarge our capacity. You know, God meets a person on the level of his capacity. And God will give you as much blessing, and God will pour out as much of his fullness into you as you are able to contain. I want you to notice a couple of verses. Exodus 23, verses 29 and 30. God is telling the Israelites how he is going to bring them into victory in the land of Canaan. And he says, I will not drive them, that's the enemy. I will not drive the enemy out from thee in 1 year. He says, it's going to take longer than that. It's going to take longer than a year. Rome wasn't built in a day. Canaan wouldn't be possessed in a year. It's going to take longer. Why? Lest the land become desolate and the beast of the field multiply against thee. By little and little I will drive them out from before thee until thou be increased and inherit the land. To me, this is very interesting. God said he's not going to drive out all of their enemies at once. Have you ever wondered why he did that? Why didn't they just go to possess the promised land and all of the enemies, all of the Canaanites and all the other people, all of the giants be driven out of the land at one time? But instead, God made them take city after city after city. A little bit here, a little bit there. But God says to them, you know, you're a small nation. Not only are you small in number, but you're small in spirit. And you really don't know me well enough yet to trust me in every situation of life. So I cannot vacate all the enemies from the land at once because you haven't learned to completely trust me. And you would not be big enough and you would not be strong enough to hold the ground that I give you. And while you're waiting to grow up spiritually and statistically, the beast would multiply. And they would multiply faster and faster until the land became desolate and there would not be enough of you to occupy and to hold the land. You know, I often wonder why God doesn't give us complete victory the moment we get saved. All the bad habits and everything is gone. Here's the answer right here. Because we would not be able to hold that ground if he gave it to us. And so there are some things that seem to hang on to you, even stubbornly, even doggedly. Some temptations, Lord, I wish I could just get rid of this temptation. I wish that I could get rid of this enemy. I wish I didn't have to feel this anymore. I wish I didn't have this temptation any longer. And God says, you're not big enough. You're not strong enough yet to possess all of my fullness, all of my blessings. So I'll tell you what, I will give you a little victory here. I'll give you a little victory here. I'll give you another little victory here. And soon you'll have victory after victory. These victories will be piling up and you'll possess a lot of the land. But if I gave you all of the victories at once, you would lose the ground that you once had. To me, that is an encouragement, because I know that God is going to keep working with me, but I realize that this is a lifelong thing. That I will be fighting these battles and God will be giving me the victories as I'm able to take it, as I'm able to contain it. Now, I think this experience is true of most of us. When we got right with God, you remember when you got saved back there, or the time that you got on your knees and said, I want to make you Lord of my life, Jesus. And it seemed like all of the enemies were completely overpowered. I remember thinking, the Christian life, it's easy. I don't think I'll ever sin again. See, I thought I was big enough to possess the land. I thought I was strong enough that I would never fail. But you know what happened? I found out that I wasn't as strong as I thought I was. And I found out that I wasn't able to contain all of the blessings that God had for me. I wasn't really mature enough to trust Him in all of the areas and all of the things that God wanted to do with me. And pretty soon I began to lose ground. You know, I would rather see somebody come to know the Lord and have that steady growth. Steady breaking of bad habits. Steady maturing and discipline of the Christian life, because I've seen too many people start out fast and lose ground and backslide. The process God has for us is He takes us along steadily. He knows how much of Himself you can contain. He knows just enough ground to give you. And sometimes we go through life and we're perplexed and we think, well, I already thought I had the victory in this area. And we come up against an enemy that we didn't even know that we had. There's an area of my life that I didn't even know existed. And so God brings you victory one city at a time, little by little. What's He doing? He's enlarging your capacity for fullness. And as God allows you to conquer a temptation, you are enlarged more. And as you face another temptation and you conquer that temptation, you are enlarged even more. See, we fail to realize these truths, and we think that temptation is a bad thing, but temptation can be used as a good thing. Temptation can help us grow. It can increase our capacity. It might enlarge us just a little bit so that God is able to pour out more of His fullness, more of His strength and blessing into our lives. That's the ministry of temptation. So when you're faced with temptation, oh no, here's another temptation. Realize that God is going to do two things with that temptation. First of all, He's going to expose to you the weakness and the sinfulness of your own heart so that you won't be filled with pride and presumption. And secondly, He's making you larger so that He can pour into you more of His fullness, show more of His love, and give you greater blessing. Number two, God prevents extreme temptation. Now, this is a very comforting statement that the Apostle Paul makes. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above that you are able. He says, there is no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. You don't ever have an uncommon temptation. I want you to understand this morning. If you ever yielded to temptation, it's your fault. Okay? You don't blame God. You don't blame the devil. You don't blame anybody else. God never allows you to be tempted beyond your ability to bear it. That's why in the very third chapter of Genesis, the devil comes to Adam and Eve. Have you ever wondered why he came in the form of a serpent or in the form of a snake? He comes to them and he tempts them. And I think God says to him, I'll let you tempt my creation. I will let you tempt Adam and Eve. But you are going to have to tone down your temptation. You're not going to be able to come in all of your power and might. You are going to come as a serpent or a snake. Why? Because Adam and Eve already had dominion, already had authority over all the animals. They had authority over the snakes. They had authority over the serpents. And so God says, you go to them, but you are under authority and you are already under their dominion when you come. Because I believe that if Satan would have came with all of his power, they would have had no choice but to succumb. But he came to them in an area where they already had dominion, so they didn't have to give in. They didn't have to yield to that temptation. And God does the same thing in our lives. Do you know that you have dominion over the devil today? No matter how he comes to you, because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. We have dominion, we have authority over him, and there is no reason whatsoever that we have to succumb to his temptation. God has made it so that the temptation is toned down so that we can be victorious and beat him. God is faithful. God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation make a way of escape. And that's point number three today. God provides an escape from temptation. Those words, common to man, the Greek means moderate to man. God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above that you are able. And notice this. But will with the temptation, right along with the temptation, he will provide a way to escape. Every temptation comes with a corresponding way of escape. There's a way out of every temptation. The word escape means a path through a mountain canyon. It's the picture of an army that has been stampeded into a box canyon and they are pinned in. There is no way out. The only way out is guarded by the enemy. They're doomed. They're finished. They're going to be wiped out. But as they look, they discover a little opening. They discover a door in the mountain. There is their way to escape. That is the word that he uses there. And there's sometimes, you know, when you feel like you are just hemmed in by the temptation and you are surrounded by mountains and there's no way out of this thing. The mountains are just too high to climb over. That's the way temptation comes to us. In James 1, it says, when you fall into temptation, it's like falling into a grave or falling into a big hole in the ground. And there is no way out of that. He says, listen, I'm faithful. I will make a way out. You trust me. There will be a way of escape. You just look for it, and there'll be the door, and you can get out of it. I want to point out something that I think would be extremely helpful. There's a definite article in this verse, a way. But you know in Greek, articles can be translated a, an, or the. And if you would put the word the here, there is not just a way of escape. The Bible is teaching us that there is the way to escape. And as I thought about that, God revealed a great truth. Because who is the way? Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And so when the temptation comes, there's not just a way out. There's not just a way of escape. There's Jesus. He's the way out. He's the way of escape. You know, and the longer I go in the Christian life, and the longer you go in the Christian life, the tendency is to become self-sufficient. And think that, you know, we can handle these things on our own now. But I'm finding that the older I get as a Christian, the more I realize the truth that I need Jesus more than ever. He is my way out. He's my strength. He is everything that I need. I have people pour out their problems to me, and sometimes they're heartbreaking. And I tell them, the first thing to recognize is it's not your problem. It's God's problem. And the first step in victory is to see that this isn't my problem, it's his problem. Jesus dwells within me, and every demand that is made of my life is really a demand of Jesus who dwells within me. So the first step is to see that it's not your problem. You can't handle it. It's God's problem, and you need to commit it to Him. There is the way to escape. How can I escape temptation? How can you escape temptation? When temptation comes to you, you remember that God is faithful and God has toned down this temptation. God has stripped down the temptation. God has limited this temptation. God has policed this temptation, and He has made certain that this temptation, this particular temptation that is coming to you, is not beyond your capacity to take it. He tailor makes temptations for you, or He lets the devil make it. The devil says, I want to tempt Job. God says, all right, but there are limits. Here's what you can do. I'll give you his size, and you make the temptation to fit him. And the devil has to obey the Lord. I don't know about you, but that gives me a great amount of comfort. And so when temptation comes, I say, thank you, Lord, this temptation is tailor-made for me. It's not bigger than I am. It's not more than I can bear. And I thank you that there is a way to escape. And Jesus, I thank you that you are the way. And Jesus, this is really your temptation, because this is your life and you dwell in me, and I'm just going to trust you and I'm going to let you handle it. You know, if we came to depend more upon the indwelling Christ and rely upon him and recognize it's not our problem, not our difficulty, not even our temptation, but it belongs to Jesus who dwells within us. And by the way, that's why he dwells within us. He came not just to die your death, he came to live your life. I don't know if we realize that. Jesus came to live your life. He didn't just die for you on the cross. He just didn't get you saved. That's the beginning. He came not to save you in your sins. He came to save you from your sins. And that's the way to escape. So he says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, flee from idolatry. So when he says, when you see the exit, run. Don't walk to the nearest exit. When you see the way God has given you to get out of temptation, you flee. You run from the face of temptation and idolatry. So, you're tempted. What are you going to do? First thing you should do is thank God for this temptation, because he is going to expose something in your heart you didn't know was there. Or he's going to enlarge your capacity, that you might be filled with more of his fullness, more of his love, more of his blessing. So we thank God for the temptation. And then we look for the way of escape. Tom, who's your way of escape?
Jesus.
That's right. It's not Tom. Tom is not the way of escape. It's Jesus. Glenn, what's your way of escape? Who is it? It's Jesus. For all of us, that answer is the same. For all of us, the answer is Jesus. He is the way of escape. And when he shows you the way, it's like he stands there. I'm the door. This is the door of escape. You run to the door. You don't walk. You run as fast as you can. You say, but Pastor, I've already failed. I've already given into temptation. What about me? Well, I'd like to leave you with a verse. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. There is no cause for permanent defeat. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from some unrighteousness. All unrighteousness. Jesus will provide this escape, but if you don't find the escape and you fall into sin, he's still faithful. And if you confess, he forgives. And not only does he forgive, he cleanses. He justifies. And he looks at you just as if you'd never given into that temptation at all. That's complete restoration. So you see, there is just no way the Christian can lose if he understands God's word. The temptation comes to me, The temptation will come to me. The temptation will come to you this week. But remember, that temptation is tailor-made for you. It's not more than you can bear. God has made a way out. But if you do fail, then you confess, and you can still stand in His presence. God has set it up so that He takes care of everything. God can take care of your failures as well as your successes. Wherever you failed this week, maybe you've been tempted and you've given into it. You've yielded. It's so easy to get rid of that sin in your life just by confessing, just by saying, "Lord, I confess this thing," and you just name the thing. And the Bible says the very moment you confess it to God, He forgives your sin and He cleanses you. He takes that extra step beyond forgiveness, the step of cleansing. Could I have your heads bowed and your eyes closed this morning? Where we need to begin this morning is by asking you if you have invited Christ in. That is the first step. You must start there. You must have Christ indwelling in your heart, in your spirit. We invite Him to come and to be the Savior of our souls. And that's what He wants to do with every single person in this room this morning. He said, "I've died on the cross for your sins. Now you need to receive my death as your death and to confess your sins, and I will forgive you of your sins, and I will come and I will take residence in your heart and in your life. I will make your heart my home. I will indwell your temple." So is there anybody here by a raised hand you'd say, "Pastor, would you pray for me? I've never asked Jesus to come into my life and be my Savior. I've never asked Him to forgive me of my sins. But I want to do that today." Is there anybody just by an uplifted hand? "Pastor, pray for me. I want to receive Christ this morning." Christians, you're here today. I don't know what temptations you struggle with. And there might be one that just comes out of the blue. An area thought you had conquered, but here it comes again. God is just exposing something that's in your heart. But Christian, you're here today, and from now on, you want to look at temptations as a ministry. A ministry that would enlarge your capacity for God. God would give you more and more of His grace, more and more of His blessing. See, temptation is just another opportunity to gain more ground in the Christian life. So how many here today say, "Pastor, I commit to the Lord that when I am tempted by God's grace with His help," again, you can't even do this on your own, "but with God's help, by God's grace, I will look at the temptation as a ministry that God is going to expand me, that I could receive more of His fullness and more of His blessing." Could you raise your hands in commitment to the Lord? Amen. 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 Lord, we're thankful as we realize what it means to have You as our Savior. Not only did You die for us, but You live for us. You indwell us. And I pray today for those that face temptations and other problems, that they would just have freedom today as they realize it's not their problem, but they would take that problem, they would take that temptation to You, and by You, it is already defeated. Help us to live in the truth of Your word. Lord, I pray that You would lead us from victory to victory. Lord, there's a depth in this place. There's a depth among Your people. Yet, Lord, we know that we can all grow deeper still. So, Lord, I pray that would happen, that we would all have our capacity for You enlarged. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.